very welcome back to the second hour of the 9 till noon show this morning. Just some of your comments. Quilter should be stopped from buying land by vulture funds. We will lose our parks and wildlife. Our walks through nature are good for your mental health and for your soul. That's an ongoing discussion. And we did hear Minister Charlie McConnell promise at the weekend that landowners and those who know the land will be consulted on that deal that Quilter have with Gresham Holdings, that venture capital funding. The only way to short the issues surrounding the anti-immigrant sentiment in Ireland at the moment is to hold a referendum asking should there be a limit to the number of people Ireland accepts. We know many people are entering Ireland in order to get access to Great Britain, so says a caller. We were discussing earlier the lack of a civic cemetery in Donegal, and a caller asks, we can get a pet crematorium, why can't we get a human one in Donegal? I know there was an application for a crematorium near Manor Cunningham, but that particular application was turned down by the council. Caller says, let's hope it doesn't take as long to get the new municipal cemeteries as it did to get public toilets at the retail park. Another caller on that issue of public toilets, caller says, Enniskillen is a town I'm often in. It's a town of around 12,000 people, far smaller than Letterkenny, yet Enniskillen has four sets of immaculately maintained public toilets provided and maintained by Fermanagh and Omagh District Council. This is in stark contrast to Letterkenny, a town of around 24,000 people, which has none. And indeed, I was in Enniskillen on a short break the year before last, and I have to say I concur with the caller, because I had occasion to use the toilets just opposite the castle there at that car park, and yes, indeed, very well maintained indeed. Shops are to blame for a lot of the lack of skill and service, so says a caller. I have noticed my mum used to go to the shop for a daily wee chat with the shopkeeper as much as for buying bread and the newspaper. Now it's all about rush, 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 each person through as quickly as they can, because instead of three people working there, there's one. Just look at some of the bigger supermarkets, you'd think they're on a timer to get the customer through the till. Now, I think in fairness, the customers are also on a bit of a rush to get through the till, and one thing you will not get in your big supermarkets is people having a chat with the person behind the till. And I think that holds true in most of the supermarkets. And even I think if someone is chatting with the person behind the till in the bigger supermarket, somebody else in the queue behind is going to start muttering. I think that's the situation in the bigger supermarkets. They're completely different. Caller says the health service does need to do something about minor injuries. I sat with my partner yesterday for 5.5 hours to get an x-ray. Another lady had been sitting there for 7.5 hours when we left. She was still there. I never heard numbers for yesterday for the hospital, but the emergency department was jam-packed inside. Now, there has been this ongoing debate about primary care centres, and one of the things that we're told about the primary care centres, and we've seen some really good centres open recently in Buncrana, in Newton Cunningham, and there's other primary care centres opening around the county. The idea in the long term, as I understand it, is that you will get things like radiology and x-rays and things like that in those centres, and ultimately you will get more and more people not having to go to the hospital. At the moment, if someone needs an x-ray, they're sent to the hospital. If they need to be assessed for anything, they're sent to the hospital. The more you can assess people in primary care centres, the more you can assess people in their own communities, the less you have to send them to hospital, and then that leaves the hospital open for people who are presenting with injuries that have got to be treated in the ED. That's the theory, and hopefully we will see that more and more come into practice in the weeks and months and years ahead. There's an ongoing discussion about that. And is Sláintecare care the answer? It may be part of the answer. Is it the whole answer? I'm not at all convinced, but we will wait with interest, because just like the poor in the Bible, these issues are always, it seems, going to be with us unless a minister can really get to grips with the balance that's needed between the emergency department, the primary care centres, care in the community, care in the hospital, and get a situation where, because I've said this before, when I remember I interviewed Brendan Drum, who was the first chief executive of the HSE, I was at the inaugural meeting of the HSE's regional forum, the one that Councillor Jerry McMonagall chairs now. I was at that initial meeting at Merlin Park in Galway many years ago, 15, 16 years ago at least, I'd say. And Brendan Drum was the CEO of the HSE at the time. And what he kept on pushing at the meeting and in an interview I did with him afterwards was taking people out of the hospital and putting them into the community. Taking people out of the hospital and treating them in the community. That was the big thing. Has it ever really successfully happened? That is a question that I fear the answer is, at best, qualified.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And you're welcome back to the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. And now, in association with Sheridan Security Systems, I'm delighted to say it is time for the Community Garda slot, joined in studio this morning by Sergeant Eunan Walsh. Eunan, good morning.
Donald, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well indeed, thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. We're going to start this morning, Eunan, with a burglary at the Milltown Business Park in Buncrana.
Yes, Donald, this is a burglary which occurred last Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, in a delicatessen shop in the Milltown Business Park area of Buncrana. So sometime between 6 p.m. last Tuesday evening and 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning, when the owner of the shop went open, discovered that the premises had been broken into. The entry was gained via the rear door, and an implement was used to gain entry. Unfortunately, a sum of money was stolen from the property. So we're appealing for anybody who may have observed any suspicious activity in or around the Milltown Business Park here of Buncrana between the dates and times, again, last Tuesday evening the 24th, 6 p.m. and Wednesday morning the 25th, 10 a.m. to contact the Gardaí at Buncrana, 074-93-20540. And again, if you don't feel comfortable contacting your local Garda station, please feel free to contact the Garda confidential line, 1-800-666-111.
Also, in that time, Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, an incident at the Garda ESB at the ESB substation at Lurgiebreck in Letterkenny.
Yes, this again on the same date, Donal, a break in a theft from an ESB substation at the top of Lurgiebreck there, at the top of the hill coming out of Letterkenny. Again, this occurred between 7 p.m. last Tuesday 24th and 8 a.m. on Wednesday the 25th. Entry was gained to the yard and a number of items were stolen. A quantity of copper wire, a black blue-coloured Bosch grinder and a black Bosch impact wrench. Obviously, due to the location of the substation, Donald, obviously that transport would have been used by the people involved. And again, we're appealing for anybody who noticed anything suspicious in the location, within the time frame, to contact the Gardaí at Letterkenny, 074-91-67100. Again, the substation is located along a busy stretch of road at the top of Lurgiebreck, and it would be unusual to see any sort of activity in around that substation at night time. So again, anybody who passed it at night time and who has dash cam, to make the footage available to Gardaí in Letterkenny.
And obviously anyone driving to or from Ballybofey, Stranorn or Donegal Town, that Sligo Road basically, would be driving right past it. There was a period some years ago when thefts of copper wire in particular were quite frequent. Haven't heard about that for a while. This is the first time we've heard of the copper now for a while.
Yes, it is, yes. Again, it was more frequent years ago, but again, it's something that's going to be prevalent again and coming back in, so we're again appealing for the information on the police.
And as well, too, of course, if anyone's offered those tools for sale,
to be in touch.
Yep. And this alleged assault in the Pierce Road area of Letterkenny.
Yes, this appears to be an unprovoked assault on a young male, Donald, which occurred last Wednesday evening, the 25th of January, between 5:55 p.m. and 6 p.m. So sometime in the evening of last Wednesday, on the Pierce Road area of Letterkenny, a male person had been assaulted by two men who were unknown to him. He suffered some injuries. Fortunately, they're not life-threatening. And again, we're appealing for witnesses in the matter. No description is available at this time. We are trawling CCTV, but anybody who's in the area at the time and saw maybe two males walking along, to contact the Gardaí again at Letterkenny, 074-91-67100.
Staying in Letterkenny, and a car fire in the area of Dubula.
Yes, this is again last Thursday night at approximately 11:57 p.m. So just before midnight, last Thursday the 26th, Gardaí Letterkenny were alerted to the fact that a car was on fire at Dubula, Letterkenny. A silver Toyota was on the hard shoulder of the main Letterkenny to Ballybofey Road, and approximately 1.5 miles the other side of Lurgiebreck. And Gardaí and the fire services attended the scene, and the car was engulfed in flames upon the arrival. Again, we believe that the damage to the car was suspicious. The car was set on fire deliberately, and we're appealing for any road users who had a dash cam and who travelled on the N13, again between Letterkenny, Stranorr, between 11:30 p.m. and 11:55 p.m. on the date, to make the footage available to Gardaí Letterkenny, please. Or again, anybody who has any relevant information, to contact us at 074-91-67100.
Again, staying in Letterkenny, an incident that took place yesterday.
Yes, this is a damage to a car, Donald, which occurred on Doherty's Lane on the Port Road there, Letterkenny, sometime Sunday night, Monday morning, between the hours of 7:30 a.m. and 9 p.m. sorry, on the Monday. The owner of the car had parked up for the day to go on a bus journey, and when they arrived back to the car in the evening, unfortunately the rear driver's side window had been smashed. Nothing had been stolen from the car, but again the damage was caused, and we're appealing for anybody who may have any relevant information again to contact us at Letterkenny 074 916 7100.
The theft of a Volkswagen Tiguan Jeep in Clough Finn.
In Clough Finn, Castle Finn, Donal, Monday morning, the 30th of January, so Sunday night morning, approximately 1 a.m, a grey Volkswagen Tiguan R-Line Jeep, partial registration number EF68, that's EF68, was stolen from a yard in Clough Finn. The yard is situated in close proximity to Claddy Bridge. So again, we're appealing for any road users who had dash cam and who travelled in that area around the time to make the dash cam available to us. And again, anybody who has any sightings of the stolen Jeep or if aware of the current whereabouts, to contact the Gardaí at Letterkenny.
And just to repeat that, partial reg EF68, is that partial reg?
That's correct, a grey Volkswagen Tiguan Jeep.
There will be a lot of truck traffic on the road on Saturday, particularly Ballybuffet via Letterkenny towards Chrysler.
Yes, this is a charity event that's planned for the victims of the Chrysler tragedy and their families. It's part of the support and the healing mechanism for the people involved. And it's planned for next Saturday, the 4th. So a large number of truckers are planning to drive from Ballybuffet via Letterkenny to Chrysler, and returning to the Silver Tassie via the Milford, while raising funds for the victims of the Chrysler tragedy and their families. I've told at this stage that are over 200 trucks have registered for the event. So the GE are starting to congregate in Donegal Road, Ballybuffet from 10 a.m. with a view to leave Ballybuffet at 1 p.m. So it's a large event due to the number of trucks involved, and it's approximately 75 kilometres in length. So to let people aware that it's going to happen and to expect traffic delays. The trucks will travel through Stranorder onto Letterkenny, again into the Polestar, past the Mount Derrigal, over Carnamugga, up the mountain top towards Kilmacrennan, and through Termin and into Chrysler. They will stop momentarily in Chrysler for a read to be laid at the explosion site. And again, after this is done, they'll be returning to the Silver Tassie in Letterkenny via Milford. Yeah. And again, we're advising motorists to expect delays on the roads on the date in question. If you have any plans on the day, hospital appointments or going on holidays, whatever, please allow extra time for a journey. We're giving this event our full support. We'll be in hand at the locations along the route to assist with the traffic management and to provide an escort for the trucks. And again, we'll be manning the major roundabouts, maybe Polestar, Bunnagee and Kilross and those kind of areas, mountain top. So we will do our best to ensure that disruption is kept to a minimum. But again, don't know what an event at this scale, there will be delays, and asking people to be aware and plan ahead if they intend on travelling on any of the routes on the day.
Maybe people, say, in Dunfanaghy, Fulcarragh, Gortathorpe, that direction, if they were considering travelling into Letterkenny on Saturday afternoon into Saturday evening, perhaps just taking that slightly longer run around the back of Errigal Road.
Around the back of Errigal.
Head to the door and then do the back of Errigal. It might be a way of avoiding it.
Or maybe coming to town a wee bit earlier before the event starts.
It seems every time we have a discussion on the programme, certainly every time I present, and it seems most weeks Greg presents as well, there's at least one scam warning, and this week is no different.
Yes, we actually had a community engagement event last night, and one of our detectives gives a presentation on scams and things to look out for, and it was very well received by the audience. And there's a couple of more here that we just want people to be aware of. The first one is a text message. I actually got one myself pertaining to be from Unpost. We've been aware that a customs fee scam text message is once again doing the rounds. The text requests that you pay a small amount of money in order for your parcel to be dispatched to you. Many of us regularly shop online, and this text is sent in the hope that whoever receives it is awaiting the delivery of some sort, and because the fee is so low, that they will pay it. Mm. And now they'll also be thinking that maybe somebody of their family members has ordered something and using their telephone number as a delivery address, and then you'll get the text message, you know. So the sole aim of the fraudster is to obtain your debit card details. The scam text message may appear in a genuine thread, but Unpost will never, never send you a message containing a link when contacting you about customs charges. So be aware, ignore the message and delete it straight away.
I got one myself on Saturday. Your package cannot be delivered due missing address. You can update your address and request redelivery, and it gives a web page of iepostm.cfd. As I said to my son, I think that's probably, it was so obviously and patently a scam, but it is on post is what it's actually down as.
Yes, and we associate on post with integrity and honesty, and when people see a link, they think, oh, this is genuine. Maybe it's somebody, a son or daughter has ordered something and they've given my phone number on the contact details, and I'll go and click and do it for them.
But again, I remember hearing someone say once that, if you send a text like that and ask for 40 or 50 quid, people think about it. If you ask for 175, they'll pay it. Because, if it's a small amount, it's almost, there's credence in a small amount. But as you say, it's not the €1.50 is the target here. The target is to get those bank details.
That's why they're looking for a small amount, is to fool you to think, well, if I only lose 175, it's no harm. But it's not that. They'll get into your bank details and you'll lose more.
Yeah, and also scam text messages purporting to be from one of the energy supply companies.
Yes, this is a new one. Scam text messages purporting to have been sent by an energy supply company are also in circulation. Again, the text message requests the recipient to click on a link again to register to receive a rebate on their energy electricity bill. Many people, we're afraid, are falling victim to this due to the current energy prices and the cost of living. And again, do not click on the link. Do not provide financial or personal details. Simply delete the message. Again, it's the same old saying, Donald, if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is.
Yeah. The other one that's quite worrying is scammers, again, purporting to be from an energy company or whatever, asking you to download an app onto your phone.
Yes, again, this is where you're contacted by your phone and you request that an app be downloaded. And again, various reasons are given by the scammers for this request. They often sound genuine and purport to be calling from a bank or other financial institution. Again, the message is quite simple. Never, ever download an app onto your phone or any other device at the request of a stranger on the other end of the phone.
Yeah.
Once you've downloaded the app in question, they have total control of your phone device. They'll have access to all of your data and personal information. So many people have all their personal details, their bank details stored on their phone. And again, you will be a victim.
Yeah. And again, it will appear on the face of it. It will appear to be genuine.
Yes.
So be really, really wary. And again, it's the age old thing. I mean, no bank, no postal service, no delivery company will ever ask you to click a link via a text message.
It's quite simple. Do not respond to unsolicited text messages and do not click on any links contained in them.
Yeah.
Do not download an app onto any of your devices at the request of a caller, especially an app that you've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And again, never ever provide any personal financial details over the phone, by text message or email. Simply delete unsolicited text messages. And again, we're asking your listeners, Donald, to advise elderly, vulnerable family members and friends in relation to these and other types of scams. And again, if you've fallen victim to any sort of scam, please contact us, the Gardaí, and again, your financial institution immediately. The sooner you notify, the sooner action can be taken.
Sergeant Eunan Walsh, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Donald.
That's our Community Garda slot there, presented to you in association with Sheridan Security Systems.
Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook and at highlandradio.com.
This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Just want to remind you that Highland Radio, as part of Irish Music Month on independent radio across the country, is taking part in Local Hero Talent Search. If you're in a band, if you're releasing your own original music, whatever genre it may be, we want to hear from you. Be in with a chance to perform live here on Highland Radio, play at a nationally broadcast event and win a prize pot of €10,000. We're looking for four acts that will feature on air on the 9 till noon show. One of those acts will go on to represent Highland Radio on a nationally broadcast gig. All four Highland Radio finalists will receive a total of €875, €650 for the band and €225 for the crew. Irish Music Month is promoting Irish artists from every genre and from every county in Ireland. Please don't miss out on the chance to take part in this, and check our website and our socials for more information. Now, I am going to go to line one because we're joined by Councillor Rena Donaghy. Rena, good morning.
Good morning, Donal. How are you?
Very well indeed. Councillor Donaghy, an issue that we have discussed many times in the past is that of Cashel na Cor and the fact that the day service continues to operate at a reduced capacity. You've been on to the HSE to try and get some clarification as to what the situation is. What's the update?
Yeah, the centre, yeah, you're right, we have been on too many times about this, unfortunately. This centre for people with disabilities, Donal, have yet to increase to a 5-day-a-week service to all its users. Now, this, it has been closed for a long time, and during COVID-19, employees were redeployed on a number of occasions from Cashel-na-Corr to a residential facility in Inishowen that experienced a significant COVID outbreak. And as I say, this happened on many occasions, and the service was reduced then, and it did actually close for a long, long, long time. We never had an outbreak in Cashel-na-Corr. There was no COVID infection in Cashel-na-Corr, although our staff, as I say, were redeployed. So to operate at full capacity, offering 5-day service, we need a manager and 2 nurses as part of the staff. So currently there is no manager and there is just 1 nurse trying to manage this all on her own, albeit I am told that she is doing a great job altogether. Now, the centre is for 40 people. There's a few that are getting 5 days a week, but it only is a few. And it's certainly not acceptable. I mean, every conceivable effort needs to be made to return Cashel-na-Corr to its full capacity, giving the users, all of the users, a 5-day-a-week service. And the HSE, they need to do a decent recruitment drive to raise staffing levels, to allow the centre to operate. You know, and they need to be offering decent conditions.
Yeah.
We always had the HSE always had a pool of staff to take from, you know, in a crisis or in a case like this. But this has long been depleted.
Yeah.
And we need to replenish this pool. And if the right recruitment drive was made, we would have people who would be on standby that only want to work a day or two here and there.
I want to share the statement that we got from the HSC. It says, the recruitment requirement is being followed up by the HR department on an ongoing basis. However, hiring staff remains an issue across services nationally and in this community healthcare area, including Inishowen. All efforts continue to be made to recruit the required staff in order to allow services operate the Cashel-na-Corr day service safely and at full capacity. The HSE apologise to the people who use the service and their families who have been impacted by the reduced service. And the HSE remains committed to having Cashel-na-Corr resume to full capacity as quickly as possible. Is there enough urgency in that statement? Do you detect enough commitment from the HSE based on what they're saying there to give you confidence?
Donal, I have been given that answer, that same answer, for over 3 years now. That's the same answer that I am getting. And the people who use Cashel-na-Corr, they are being looked after by elderly pensioner parents, some of them in their 80s. Most of them, there wouldn't be any under 70. People who need to be cared for themselves. It's absolutely abysmal. It really, really is. If the proper recruitment drives were being made, we would get staff. You know, this is not satisfactory. It's anything but it. You know, if children who go to school, there's an obligation. They must be in school. If they are not in school after 20 days, the authorities will land. This is school for these adults. But they don't have the same rules. The same rules don't apply. They can be off for months and months and months, and nobody really seems to be concerned. And it's just left on whoever is at home to look after them. And even at best, when they are getting 2 days, they would leave the home at maybe 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, and they're back again at 4. This is a very short day for the people at home, because they have them then for the rest of the evening and the rest of the night until the next morning. You know, this is anything but satisfactory.
Yeah, and also from the point of view of the people that use the Cashel-na-Corr service, it's their social network. It's where they meet friends. It's where they meet their peers. It's where they get involved in conversations. It's where they have social interaction. And when they're not getting that social interaction, they're missing on something that's really vital. And there's an argument that says that social interaction is a really key and crucial part of their development. And when they're not getting it, they're losing out big time.
Yeah, that's right, absolutely. And when they've been off for so long, some of them kind of forget their whereabouts, and when they get back again, then it takes them a while to, you know, to see where the toilet is again and to see where the playroom is and all of that. And a few were offered home support during COVID. Home support is not the answer. They're not getting out, as you say, they're not getting out of their own environment. They love this wee social outing. They love having the dinner in the centres. They love doing what they do. You know, it's a very, very poor service that's been offered. And as I say, I have to take off my hat to the nurse that is there now, because I hear great reports about her altogether. She's doing a great job. But we need a manager, and we need two nurses to be able to offer the 5 day a week. Now, a lot of people would need 1-to-1, but in Cash and the Core now, we need 2-to-1 with a lot of patients, because they're getting older, their disabilities are, their needs are becoming greater. So it's 2-to-1. So to have 2-to-1, we must have two nurses and a manager.
Have you any confidence that we'll see movement on this in the short term? Because as you said, the answer we've got is the answer you've been getting for 3 years. That would suggest that much as they're saying they remain committed, and much as they say they're following it up on an ongoing basis, there just doesn't appear to be that sense of urgency there. There doesn't seem to be that sense that they're really pushing it. And as you say, perhaps the terms and conditions need to be looked at, perhaps the wages need to be looked at, perhaps the circumstances and the actual positions being offered need to be looked at.
I think there needs to be a multidisciplinary approach to this. And as you say, everything needs to be looked at. If the right recruitment drive was there, people would apply. I mean, we always did have a pool, as I say. We had a pool of workers, and it was great if somebody was sick for a day, if somebody was on, you know, when somebody goes on maternity leave, people know that they're going on maternity leave, you know, so you make provision. Or if somebody's going off for a month's holidays or whatever, you know that in advance and you make provision. Our centre was closed here, and as I say, we did not have a COVID outbreak. But our staff were taken to other centres, albeit, yes, residential centres. But they should have had their own staff in the residential centres, not to have to close another centre to accommodate elsewhere. It's anything but satisfactory, and I think it needs, as I say, a multidisciplinary sit down and start with a bottom up approach.
We've had this conversation in the past. I fear we will have this conversation again in the future, but hopefully, Councillor Ina Donaghy, we'll see some movement on this, and you know, we will finally get that sense of urgency and that multidisciplinary approach that obviously does need to be injected into this process. But for the moment, thanks indeed for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you, Donal.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Councillor Ina Donaghy there speaking to us from Buncrana. And as we said, that issue of Cash and the Core, it's one that's been discussed so often on the show and so often on the news. And it always does come back to this whole issue of staffing, as do so many of the issues with such services in Inishowen and indeed elsewhere in Donegal. Brenda asks, is there a scam, Ray, COVID tests? Yes, Brenda, and it's been highlighted on the Garda slot several times over the past number of weeks and months as well. Effectively, there is one, speaking from memory, where you will get a text from the HSE, purporting to be from the HSE, it's not from the HSE, but you will get a text purporting to be from the HSE, and it'll say something along the lines of, you've been identified as a close contact, you need to be tested, click this link for more details, and there'll be a link, and usually the links are gobbledygook. You'll get lines and dots and dashes and 184, they won't make sense. But even if the link does make sense, even if they've managed to get a link that even says hse.ie or whatever, still do not click it. I mean, don't ever click a link that comes to you via text, because the HSE just simply does not do that, and they've made it quite clear they don't. Before we spoke to Councillor Donaghy, I was telling you about the Irish music search for a local hero. What I forgot to mention was how to actually enter. So what you do, if you're going to enter the competition, email music@highlandradio.com, sending a short bio and an MP3 of your original song. And the closing date for entries is this evening, by the way, so we need to get that into us by this presumably close of business this afternoon. So Tuesday, 31st of January, which is today. So if you can get a short bio on an MP3 into us, then get onto the website and the socials and they'll give you more details. But you can enter today, be you a band, be you a solo artist or whatever, music@highlandradio.com with a short biography and an MP3 of your song. Also, while we're speaking about initiatives, let's talk about the Community Hero, because Highland Radio has joined up with iMotors to promote the Community Hero Award. The idea is to honour a neighbour, family, friend, colleague or community supporter who's made an extraordinary contribution within their community. Someone that goes beyond the call of duty, that helps their community, cares in the community, volunteers in the community, works with older people or younger people. The winner will receive a 231 Nissan Qashqai for 12 months. So whoever wins the Community Hero Award will get a 231 Nissan Qashqai to actually drive over the course of the next 12 months. So well worth entering. Nominate now, comments at Highland Radio, or you can write in your nomination to Highland Radio, Mountaintop, Letterkenny. It's 9:45. We're going to take a short break. Back with our next caller after these.
Highland Radio. Your voice, your station.
Now let's go to Anne on line one. Anne, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Anne, you have concerns about the respect for people with intellectual disabilities and the fact that it just appears they're not high on anyone's priority list in government.
That's correct. People who have an intellectual disability seriously need stimulation. Being left at home for a very long time has impact on their mental health, has impact on regression. It puzzles me as to why Cash and Accor cannot get a manager. Staff changes have occurred in the Cairn Donagh Centre. An assistant director of nursing was replaced, but always Cash and Accor seems to be bottom of the list and bottom of the pile.
Is it that residential centres is it that residential centres are being prioritised and it's the day centres, it's the support services like Cash and Accor are being left behind?
There's day services in Cairn Donagh as well, so I'm not sure that is. I think if the post is made attractive enough, that you'll get people to apply. It's just the people who have intellectual disabilities can't be just forgotten about, which seems to be what happens here. When there's a problem, they're just left behind. And as that speaker said, people who have intellectual disabilities, they regress. They also, as they get older, their skills diminish. And these things are all affecting their quality of life. And then there's a knock-on effect on the family that's supporting that person, because some of these parents are widows or widowers. Some of them have problems themselves, either health issues, disabilities, and they're left to manage without the support they need. The staff on the ground in Cash and Accor are a fine group of people. My son attends there, and but any ship needs a captain, and in order to have someone who's responsible and someone who you can bring your problems to, someone who you can bring your worries to, is a much needed thing in a situation like this here. Because some people with the intellectual disability that are attending a centre like this who are not capable of having some type of part-time job or something, you need to be able to talk to somebody, because sometimes their communication skills are not great. And this, years ago, people with intellectual difficulties or disabilities were left behind. But at the present time, I feel that we've taken quite a few steps backwards, and then HSE are not prioritising people with intellectual disabilities.
The other question that we have to ask, and it's a question I don't like asking, but as was pointed out by Councillor Donaghy, in many cases, as people using cash in the core get older, their carers, their parents, are themselves getting older, and sadly, in some cases, a day will come when their parents, for whatever reason, are no longer able to take care of them. And the question then becomes, what happens then? Are people going to be taken out of their community and put into long-term residential care for lack of proper day services?
That's a very strong possibility, but then you have to look at the situation where long-term residential care, there is no such thing. There's hardly even respite. There, in fact, as far as I'm aware, respite is still not available in Carndonagh. If you want respite and you live in Inishowen, you must send your son or daughter to Letterkenny. So all those things have been left on the long finger and have been put on the long finger. And as Rena said, like, people, as they get older, the clients, as they get older, also develop additional needs, and they become more difficult for their elderly parents and carers to care for, and it becomes an added stress and worry for these parents, because you're wondering what's going to happen in the future, because, as I said, there is very little residential care.
Yeah. It's certainly a worrying situation, and all we can do really is hope that there is some movement, that the HSE and others hear what you're saying, they hear what Rena Donaghy is saying, and they hear what the other parents are saying as well. And I know it's a very committed and a very vocal group in that area of South Inishowen, and indeed in Northern Inishowen as well. We wish you well, Anne, and hopefully we will see some resolution to this. But in the meantime, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you.
I want to move now to another issue, and that's the issue of the self-service fuel stations. Now, we referenced them earlier, actually, when we were speaking to Charlie from Retail Excellence Ireland about the need for training and about the need for improved customer service. Mary is on the line, and Mary, you have a very unique and important perspective on self-save fuel stations.
Hi, Donal. Yeah, my son learned to drive last year with Raymond from the Irish Wheelchair Association. Now, he is a wheelchair user, and it was absolutely brilliant when he learned to drive. We had one self-serve filling station in Carndonagh, but now another one of the filling stations there has upgraded, if you could call it that, to self-serve as well, leaving us with one served filling station, which is brilliant, and I hope that doesn't change. But it's absolutely impossible for Liam to use a self-serve filling station.
Now, that effectively means, and we're not even necessarily talking about the self-serve stations that require a credit card and input all those details first. We're talking any service station that doesn't have someone on the forecourt who will effectively help by filling the car themselves.
Yeah, because for Liam, he would have to pull up his van to the pump and hope that nobody pulls up behind him to allow room for the ramp to come down.
Yeah.
And then come out of the van, and then he can't actually get access to the putting the card in to pay or anything on the pump. And he certainly can't reach for the pump to put the fuel into the van. It's, you know, his only hope is if to go and pay at a different pump and hope no one else pulls up at it before he gets to it. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. It is a difficulty, and as you say, we're seeing more and more, particularly, as you say, the ones with the credit card. In the case of an ordinary sort of forecourt where you pump the fuel yourself and then go into the office to pay, can he use those, or are they a problem as well? And I presume they will be, given that it's going to be difficult to reach the pump.
Yeah, no, he would need someone. The way it is now, if he can use that one filling station in Cairn, someone comes and serves him, and he would try to have cash, because like that, it's a whole rigmarole to get out to go to pay for the fuel as well. Or one of us has to go with him whenever he needs to get diesel, which, you know, is fine in some respects, but, I mean, he learned to drive to get independence.
Of course, yeah. Now, I do know, and I've seen this on one national chain, actually. I would, if driving down to Waterford, there's one national chain I would use for a comfort break. And I see a poster in their bathrooms that says something along the lines of, if you have special needs and you're coming, and this would be a chain that very much would have people pumping themselves in the forecourt and wouldn't have a forecourt attendant. But what they actually say is, if you are coming to our premises and you will need assistance, you can ring ahead and let us know and we'll have someone there waiting for you. Is that something that sort of other, you know, places might learn
from?
Yeah,
that would be, oh, that would be very helpful. Yes, very helpful. Obviously, it's, you know, as with everything with disabilities, it seems to be that you have to book ahead or look ahead. It's, you know, if Liam's going somewhere new, we almost have to go and do a recce of the building before he would go to check that he can enter it and things like that. Liam has been in a wheelchair now for about 4 years. He has a progressive muscle wasting disease, and it's only since he's gone onto the chair that you're seeing things through different eyes.
Indeed, and we were speaking earlier to Councillor Jimmy Cavan about even things like the changing places, bathroom facilities that are opening in Letterkenny, and I think there is more and more of an awareness that such facilities are needed. Mary,
yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe it's a suggestion, and I thought it's a good, okay, as you say, it isn't great that you have to ring ahead and almost book someone to assist you, but at least we know in some places that facility is there, and, you know, it can be used. And, you know, maybe hopefully we'll, you know, as you say, there is one station in Carn is in a position to help him, and maybe if he needs to use others, you know, some facility can be found, so some arrangements can be made. In the meantime,
that would be a good solution to the issue, to be honest.
And I'm sure too,
it's not just disabled people, obviously.
Of course, there'll be people who are elderly or whatever, And I'm sure too, I mean, you know, I know in a relatively small area like Carn, Liam is going to be known by people around the town, and there'll be others in a similar situation. So hopefully we will be able to see some progress there. But in the meantime, Mary, thanks indeed for speaking to us this morning.
Okay, thank you, Donald.